This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
We might have a raging debate here where a lot of people, Tone, are more impressed with Kevin Stefanski in his start with the Browns in 2020 than Kenny Atkinson in his start with the Cleveland Cavaliers here in 2024. A lot of votes going out there right now. We'll see how it goes. See how it goes. You and I are in lockstep, so maybe some people disagree with us. I don't know. And I might be taken in by the time of the year. The Browns are 2-7. It's a mess. We're talking about whether or not guys are going to hold on to their jobs.
It's because we needed this. We needed them to pick us up. The way the Guardians season ended, which is a great season, but then the Browns, we shifted. All right, can the Browns keep this going? And outside of the Baltimore game, they couldn't. So we're like, all right, Cavs, it's on to you. But it's the same old Cavs. It's the same starters. How are they going to be able to do it?
I don't know.
Boom, they're 9-0. And looking, they're one of the most talked about teams in the league right now.
And one of the things that, Justin and I are friends. And I think you and Justin are friends, but I'm only going to speak for myself. Justin and I are friends. And we text each other, and I have to admit, I was actually bothered by something. And it's his opinion. I didn't take it personally. But when I asked him, you know, can we talk finals? You have to. It's November. I mean, well, you talk finals now. When you're going to be able to talk finals? And it just sounded to me, not in a condescending way by Justin, but in a way like, hey, are you just telling me we can talk finals while we can talk finals? Like, we should take advantage of being able to talk about the finals until Boston figures their lives out and gets healthy? Is that what you're saying there? Should we be able to talk about this until? Well, I don't know if Joel Embiid's ever going to get healthy, so I really don't put I really don't put Philadelphia anywhere. But like, should we do that until the Knicks get their lives sorted out? Like, that's kind of the way I took it. And I'm going, guys, I want to talk finals and mean it. I want to talk like Boston is going to be good. I know that. Okay, let's talk Eastern Conference Finals and say, what does it take to get us over the hump of the Boston Celtics? I want to talk about it and mean it.
Well, it starts.
That's the next step already at 9-0.
I could try to lay out a case. It's a tough one because obviously Boston has the size. They have every position. They're almost, in a way, Boston is almost perfectly constructed, especially when Porzingis is back. My God, they don't even have Porzingis, and they're this good. They did lose last night, and it's their second loss. But they almost seem perfectly assembled. They've got guys, you shouldn't under the salary cap be able to put together a team that shoots this well, that defends this well, and that has this amount of ego.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have the ego that the other teams do that have superstars. Mm-hmm. Like, people tried to drive a wedge between Tatum and Brown. I was one of them. But they showed they could figure it out. It didn't have to be one guy shining above the L. I mean, for Jason Tatum to not even win the MVP, it's almost a testament to how good Joe Mazzulla and that team is. But I'll tell you, with all that said, because I don't want to focus on Boston, I want to focus on us, that kind of feels like the Cavs right now. The Cavs don't have any ego. And it's easy to say that when you're 9-0. Mm-hmm. But do you see it? Look at Donovan Mitchell, for instance. When you are a superstar in this league and you're an all-NBA player and you're considered one of the best and you were not on the Olympic team, so even though he was invited a year ago to be on the select team or whatever, so you could play his way to that, and he was a little burnt out. That did have to smart a little bit that he wasn't on the Olympic team and watching those guys win the gold medal. So you would think, all right, Donovan Mitchell's going to come back on the Vengeance Tour and show everybody how good he is. And he's like, no, this is a long season, and I need these guys to have the buy-in to work up their confidence and under a new coach to have a buy-in. I think Donovan deserves a ton of credit for that because that's ego-less. And in a sport where the superstars are all enriched with enormous ego, we've got the star that doesn't seem to have any of it.
It takes a lot to trust. And I don't want to put more on J.B. Bickerstaff yet. I'm just spitballing here. You know, was it a lack of trust with teammates? Because maybe it was a lack of trust with Bickerstaff. You know, we've heard several things. Now, of course, that Donovan Mitchell will absolutely deny it because that's what he does. He will categorically deny everything. That is bandied about is rumored, and everything in the NBA is rumored. So I can't assign this to him. But you know, was there a lack of trust with JB that caused for a lack of trust with everybody else? Or you know what? It might just be November, and you're able to share the basketball in November because a lot of teams are going to go figure it out in the first couple of months of the season.
And you're taking advantage of that,
and
though,
you can take advantage,
which is
of that.
Great. Which is what they should do. And I know their strength of schedule is bottom four in the league right now. The teams that they have beaten so far 22-49. So. But you know what? It's in the NBA where you just have a bad shooting night or the other team has a great shooting night.
Yeah.
Do you see what the Pelicans shot last night? I know they were missing three starters. Do you know what the Pelicans shot last night? They shot 48%. Actually, you could round up 49%. And you won. And you won on the road. And you did that when you're 9-0 and could have easily overlooked the opponent when they weren't playing Herb Jones or C.J. McCollum or Trey Murphy. Like, those guys were out. That could have been a sleepwalk game. And they kind of did defensively at the start. And then they turned it on in the third quarter. They outscored them by like 12 points, and they coasted from there. That's how good this team is.
So I'll put it like this for me, just personally, and then we'll move on to this other bit of audio here when it comes to the Browns, because we've got Mary Kay coming up at 8:20. I want to talk finals. I'm not going to do it yet. Because I don't want to... I don't want to have any conversation about the Cavs that is awkward, forced conversation. It's very, very, very hard to get into Cavs stuff when they're 9-0 because they're doing everything perfectly. So it's very hard. Like I think some people in town have forced, well, Darius Garland does this and that. No, he doesn't. He's done very well to start off this season. Donovan Mitchell, nope. Donovan Mitchell has shared the basketball. Evan Mobley is growing. I like what Justin had to say about that. I'm going to save the finals until I actually can save the finals and see that path because I got to see them against Boston, but I can't hurry up the schedule. They can only beat up who's in front of them.
Golden State one is now looking very interesting.
Yes, it is.
Coming up.
Even though it's a West Coast team, it very much is.
And if you're a listener of this show, you have the opportunity to go to that game.
8:40. I got very mad at Anthony earlier during a break. I think he's letting someone off the hook. Daryl Ryder asked about Paul DiPodesta's role in the future, and Andrew Berry yesterday gave one of the all-time non-answers I've ever heard.
As you strategize to figure out a way to fix this, whether it's the roster, whether it's the salary cap, where does Paul DiPodesta fit in this process? A lot of people still have questions about like what he does and the amount of weight he carries behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think you've heard me say before, Paul's an incredible thought partner. He has great executive experience across multiple sports. He's very smart, very empirical. You know, and he's a very valuable member of the organization.
Again, there's nothing there that's said that tells me what he does. You could be a good thought partner. You could be very empirical in everything you look at. I got agitated listening to that answer, and then I got more agitated over your opinion or lack thereof over that answer over. Because tell everybody what you said, because I think I'm going to get in a lather here.
I was going by what I heard. Body language and actual words from Jimmy Haslam when he was asked, I think he was down at the Greenbrier, about the state of affairs with the organization. And he announced the extensions to both Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. And the follow-up was, well, what about DiPodesta? And he said, no. And he started talking about kind of a role shifting within the organization. I already think that Paul DiPodesta is either on his way out of the organization or just in a completely different role that is going to have nothing to do with actual draft picks or any of that.
What role so would that's he why, have then? That's why I
help
think
them out. Help them out business wise. When they talk about him as a very smart business guy, I mean that's not coded language. That's flat out. He's going to help us make money, and the Browns are obviously looking. Coming up to do that
isn't his
with a
job,
new dome.
His job is, wait a minute. Wait,
a new mixed-use center
hold on,
around it.
That's what Dave Jenkins does. Dave Jenkins is a good businessman. That's not.
They can never have too many of them.
They
right?
made a whole movie about Pauly Podesta. Yeah. Pauly Podesta didn't do anything about like, hey, let's get a new stadium here in Oakland. No, it was all about baseball players. Like, he's supposed to be a sports guy, sports analytics guy. And I feel when you say that, it's like, okay, I can't yell at DiBadesta now?
You can yell at him because the damage has already been done. I just don't think he's going to have anything to do with the Browns and their big-time decision-making for the next quarterback, the drafts. I think you're going to see more and more. I think over the next few months, you're gonna find out exactly what I'm talking about. I'll just leave it at that. But you can get mad
You'll
at him.
Leave
sure.
it at that.
Yeah, you can.
Do you know something I don't
it
know?
It sounds like you know something.
Yeah, what do you know?
I think it's pretty clear that he is being phased out anyway in all of this. So yeah, get mad at him. But I'm focused on
damn right.
the guys that I think are going to have something to do with this turnaround, or their exits are going to lead to something to do with the turnaround, and that is Barry and Stefanski. But yeah,
so you don't hold his feet to the fire over any of this
even though
he's brought in as an idea football man. He's a chief strategy officer, yeah. So I guess that could be a strategy of everything.
Well,
that could be a strategy of stadiums and such, but I mean, my God,
yeah,
this is what this guy's supposed to be known for, is across sports, being able to find the finest athletes that you can find or whatever they sell you on. And I feel like I'm getting the wind taken out of any sails because, I mean, this is a guy, I ain't going to lie, this is a guy who I've wondered what the hell he has to do with this organization for a decade now.
Well, I do think he's had a huge role in the past. There's no doubt. And I don't know if it's a combination of he's gotten bored with that role, or the Haslams have found him to be more useful in other realms of the organization. Because as we know, me and you, we talk about football. We don't talk about how can the Haslams make more than they made last year? How can their vendor contracts, how can they increase their partnerships, you know, with their signage in the stadium that they make money off of? How can they get their mixed use and realty stuff? Like, that stuff we don't talk about on the radio because it doesn't matter to us. But for the Haslams, that might matter way more than the wins and losses.
It just, well, they're owners of a professional
right,
franchise.
But
I'm not going to be stupid.
But fans don't talk like that. Fans only talk wins and losses with us. They don't care if the Haslams are making money.
So what you're
telling
me...
Well, the Haslams care first and foremost if they're making money.
So what you're telling me is that he tried his hand with personnel with the organization, and that's gone belly up, and so now he's going to try his hands with the other side of the organization, and that's going to somehow help?
Well, hell, I just don't think it'll matter. I don't think that side of the organization matters to wins and losses and the product they're putting on the field, and more importantly, how they get out of this.
I mean, I'm all down for surrounding myself with smart people, but there's plenty of smart people out there that are full of it. And so far, I wish I could tell you he's full of it, but I still don't know exactly what he does here.
Yeah, but it's funny. This dates back. I know we got to go. I read a piece. I was like, let's check in on Alex Shiner. Let's see what Alex Shiner is doing these days. And I saw a piece. Hold on. I'm just making a point. If you want to go to break, we'll just go to break. We don't have to throw a fit about it.
I'm not. That wasn't me.
Okay. Sorry. I'll finish the story at another time.
Well, talk about all that. And whether or not Deshaun Watson will be back next year, Mary Kay Cabot going to join us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And we welcome her and we thank her very much for her time here on this Thursday morning. Mary Kay, good morning to you. And first off, Deshaun Watson, he ever going to play for the Cleveland Browns again?
I think it's absolutely still up in the air, and I don't think they have an answer to that yet. I think there is a world in which Deshaun can come back. You guys know that I have written that in part because of the economic component.
Yeah, but I don't know if I want to live in that world, Mary Kay.
Well, a lot of people don't want to live in that world, but as I asked Andrew yesterday, are you going to let the fans' feelings about Deshaun Watson dictate how you make this decision or influence how you make this decision? And he said basically no. So they're going to make football decisions based on what they think gives them the best chance to win. Now, does this mean that Deshaun is ever going to play football for the Cleveland Browns again? We don't know the answer to that. I've said numerous times, it feels to me like that ship has sailed, but it hasn't really fully sailed yet because of the economic issues, because of the injury issues, and many other factors.
Well, is that maybe because it's up in the air because they haven't found a exit strategy together with each other to work something out? Is that why it might be up in the air?
Well, I think it's up in the air in part because they have to see how he recovers from this injury. When you recover from an Achilles like that, then that can dictate, might they be able to trade you? Might they be able to get something for you in return, or have you be the backup, or challenge for the starting job. I think they first need to see how he begins to recover from this surgery. But one thing that we do know about Deshaun Watson is that he has come back from two ACLs and one fractured shoulder already. So the chances are pretty good that he's going to heal from this Achilles.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us right now on the hotline. You have been around a lot of Andrew Berry press conferences over the years. Yesterday, just this is me talking. I heard some other people say similar things. He looked maybe not as confident as he typically is.
I noticed one little idiosyncrasy there where he was going, like in between people's sentences. I was like, I don't think I've ever heard Andrew do that.
Yeah,
he sounded pensive.
And Mary Kay's 2-7, so I get people are probably saying, what is he supposed to sound like? Well, I do wonder, how accountable do you think he has to be in these settings? Because there is still more season left. You know, we're at the bye week right now. They're still going to play a ton of games. It does seem like they've pretty much been eliminated from the playoffs. So would you like to see more accountability? I know the fans want to see it.
Well, one thing that I would like to see in a press conference like this is he started it out by saying, basically, I don't really want to reflect and I don't really want to look forward. We just want to focus on these next 8 games. But the truth of the matter is, we don't really care too much about these next 8 games. That's not what people care about. That's not what fans care about. That's not what fans want to hear about. What they want to know is, how are you going to turn this back into a winning football team? What are you planning to put us through over the next couple of years? And how are you going to get back on the winning track? That's what people want to know from the GM in that moment. Nobody really wants to know what is going to happen in the next 8 games. I mean, it's okay to know if you're going to play some DTR. It's okay to know if maybe you want to give a receiver like Jamari Thrash a chance or something like that. But that's really not what's important right now. What's important is, what are you going to do with Deshaun Watson, and where is this football team going to be in 2 years?
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Do you think we'll see DTR again?
I think so. I do think so. I think the season is going to come to a point where it will make sense to do that, or there will be an injury issue, or maybe Jameis just continues to throw interceptions. I don't really know. But I do think there is a world in which you will see DTR again, and I actually think they should take a look at Bailey Zappe, too. Why not? You have to see what you have in your quarterback room for next season. You have big decisions.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To make, you have things to figure out. I think by now you kind of know what Jameis is, and you don't know what the other two guys are.
We got into a bit of a debate right before you came on about Paul DePodesta. He again was asked about Paul's role, a little bit evasive. I would say that is something that fans and media when the team does bad. We want to know more about Paul's role. We don't seem to really care when they win, but it did come up before the season when Barry and Stefanski signed their extensions, and I thought it stood out to me at the time that Jimmy Haslam said there was no extension and maybe a shifting of roles for Paul. Have you heard anything about the future of Paul within this organization?
No, I haven't, but the same thing stood out to me when he was a little bit vague about Paul's extension and role and future. So I'm guessing that perhaps maybe Paul reevaluates things year by year to see if he wants to take on a new challenge or try something different. But Andrew was very adamant about the fact that he's still highly valued and important in the organization. So I'm sure if Paul wants to stay, Paul will be here. But I'm also guessing that there will be some kinds of changes in the organization moving forward. There always are. So we'll have to see what happens after the season is over when they sit down and decide if they're going to change anything up in the front office. But I think it's probably something to keep an eye on.
Have you ever heard the term thought partner before?
Oh, yes. They talk about that all the time.
Really?
Kevin and Andrew talk about that with each other. They talk about that with Paul. I mean, these are very highly intellectual people that you're talking about here, and they definitely consider themselves to be thought partners. I think we're thought partners with each other. Me, you, Ken, Anthony, right? We're thought partners.
I mean, I've never thought about us that way. I just thought we were three good friends. I never thought we were thought.
Well,
it's just never crossed.
Yeah.
I'm poor, simple Midwestern folk. I have no idea about these things, these terms.
Yeah, but it is interesting, Mary Kay, because, you know, as fans and media, we want accountability. But when all we ever hear is they're all on the same page, it's going to lead us to the same conclusion, which is, well, if they're not winning, all of them need to go. And I don't know if behind the scenes they're talking about thought partners when they have their individual meetings with the owners. As we know, teams and collectively those that are in power, they have things called a power struggle. You see some try to save their jobs while maybe throwing others under the bus. Do you think these guys behind the scenes are truly thought partners? Are they all truly willing to go down with the ship?
Well, I don't know if it means that if one goes, they all have to go. I don't think that's the case. I do think that they all work very well together, and there still is great alignment in the building. And one thing that stood out to me yesterday was that Andrew was very willing. He was definitive about one thing, and that was Kevin Stefanski as the future coach of the Cleveland Browns. He was vague about most things. He was absolutely definitive about that, which tells me that they believe that they are going to have the opportunity to continue to work together and see this thing through. We know they got extensions at the beginning of the season, and so that was kind of telling to me.
Well, that is a good point, Mary Kay. Go ahead.
So, Mary Kay, the next question is how they're going to pivot out of this situation. So I've said, and I think people who follow the league as closely as you do, you certainly know when teams are older, when they are expensive, and when they are bad, you see a total rebuild. You see tanking. You see the accumulation of draft picks. They only made the one trade, and then obviously the Amari Cooper trade a few weeks ago. So they certainly didn't signal that they're ready to do that. What is going to be the avenue for this team, and is it a smart way to proceed?
Well, they can always acquire more draft picks when the league year opens again in March. So this is not over yet in terms of trades and different things that they're going to do. We know Andrew is very, very aggressive when it comes to acquiring talent. So they will do whatever they have to do to get back on the winning track. This is not going to be a teardown. And I use the example of a Pittsburgh. They went out and they got Russell Wilson, albeit he was cheap, but they got Russell Wilson. They acquired Justin Fields, and they marched right along, and they're at 6-2 right now. You don't have to do a total rebuild. You don't need to do that in the NFL. There are so many avenues to acquire talent. They have the resources. He did say that they can still build the team, even though they are kind of saddled with the Deshaun Watson contract. He feels confident that they can build the team the way that they need to. And again, these are smart, smart people. I'm guessing that they're going to find a way to spread out that contract for future years. I still have to look into some of the rules and parameters of how you can do that. But I'm guessing that they'll try to spread that cap charge, those cap charges out for a period of time, and that they'll find another starting quarterback because they have to do that. Even if they think Deshaun Watson is going to be healthy next year, they still have to find another starting quarterback somewhere. So they have to plan for the draft, free agency, a trade. And if you find a good quarterback, you can get back on the winning track quickly.
How much power does Kevin Stefanski have?
Well, I don't. It's hard to define power. What does power mean? I mean, Andrew holds all the cards in terms of acquiring players, and he has the final say over the roster. Kevin has influence over things, and I'm sure that he would have input and will have input in any quarterback decision that they make. He will evaluate those quarterbacks when the time comes, and he'll be part of that decision. But I don't think you can put a percentage on how much power he has in the organization.
Well, the reason I ask is because, like, you mentioned Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh wasn't coming back from 2 and whatever this is going to end up being, or maybe 3 or maybe 4, but I think that might be asking a bit. I mean, they were 10-7 last year, and we know that Mike Tomlin wields a very large amount of power with that football team. And here we are 5 years in. I didn't have to wonder about these things with Mike Tomlin 5 years in. 5 years in. Well, how much power does Kevin Stefanski have? Well, why did they have to fire offensive coordinators? So Lima's hearing that he didn't want to fire his offensive coordinator. Now we're bringing in Ken Dorsey, and the offense looks like it's just an unmitigated disaster now that we brought in Ken Dorsey. And I don't even know if I can blame him. I mean, special teams has been a mess with Bubba Ventrone, a guy that everybody liked. All of a sudden, defense has not looked as good, and because defense hasn't looked as good, because there's probably been a lot more on their shoulders here, and I'm going, how on earth does he win two-time coach of the year? And people hate me saying that, but it's part of the argument. He's won two-time coach of the year. They've been to the playoffs. They went to the playoffs last year, and somehow he's losing power. So I wonder, like, what are they actually going to do? Because what you've laid out, yeah, that might be a way to bring it back, but it's like they were trying to figure out a way to keep it going from 10-7. We are 2-7 right now, and we're going to be an under 500 team probably by a lot. That tells me that the worst is yet to come. And so maybe I might not be panicking right now, Mary Kay, as we talk during a bye week. I can't tell you how I'm going to be feeling at the beginning of December.
You know, I just don't know that this is a 2-7 football team from a talent and roster standpoint. This is not a team that is devoid of talent whatsoever. When you have Myles Garrett and you have Denzel Ward and you have JOK and all the other talented players that they have on this football team, I don't think that the fix is going to be as hard as it might seem. Once again, I think you're probably going to add or need to add 5 or 6 difference makers, but you just won 11 games last year. So maybe they really weren't an 11-win football team last year, but I don't think that they're just a 3 or 4-win team this year either. Remember, they have the hardest schedule in the NFL this season, and there were a lot of other things that happened. So I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. They're probably a middle-of-the-road football team right now that needs to try to get back to an elite level.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right. We thank you so much for the time. I wanted to feel better, but I don't. We thank you very much, and have a wonderful bye week, Mary Kay, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I don't feel any better after that, do you?
She did kind of indicate that she was thinking the same way about DePodesta that I was, just based on tea leaves.
Why is he... Everything... I guess I got to do my research. I'm sorry. I'll do my own research. I guess I got to go back and read all about his history. I missed the part in Moneyball where he was Gordon Gekko. I'm sorry. I forgot that part.
What's the new business movie he has with Tannenbaum that he's been touring with him?
Oh, yeah. There it is. There it is. That's a good one. Yeah. What was that trade he espoused last week?
17 number ones from Oscar.
That's the name of the company. 17 number ones. Let us know if we're wrong. 216-474-0092.
You're wrong.
You do not count. How about that?
Well, you've been telling me that for 10 years.
That's not true.
Threw staplers and water bottles.
I didn't throw anything at you or your general direction.
Now, finally, it's out there. November 7th.
Almost said, no, never mind. 2024.
Another month could be living in infancy.
Let's not do that. Are we wrong? We said that this is the best start. Now, this is a little bit haphazard research. I'll admit that. But the best start that we have seen with a Cleveland professional sports team. Kenny Atkinson is 9-0 to start this year. Paul Brown was 7-0 to start 1946 before they fell to San Francisco. And Keith, the Marble Mouth, said that he was more impressed with Kevin Stefanski's 9-3. And I said, no. It's one is a zero in the loss column. The other one has three. And Lima, you agree? I said Ken E. Atkinson is more impressive than Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, they're
right now, 58% of people who have voted actually agree with us. But at first, it was like Cleveland Dark Knight, easily Stefanski for me, going through all they did with the pandemic, a franchise that was a yearly loser, etc., etc. Hats off to Atkinson, but he took over a winning team with no real turnover in the rotation. These guys have played together for a while, excited for this Cavs team. And that's a very fair argument. I'll give him that. There you go. Jeffrey Sauter and Kenneth both say Stephen Vogt. Greg Aussie Fury says, where can I vote for Stephen Vogt?
You can vote for him. Vote for whoever you want. Right now, maybe we're getting caught up in the moment, but it's really hard to go 9-0 in the NBA. It's really hard, especially with three-point shooting, what it is. Like, to win when you have an off night, to win when the other team shoots 48%, which is what the Pelicans did last night at home.
Yeah.
They did that against you. Normally, that's a guaranteed loss. In the NBA, yes. Look it up. When another team at home shoots 48%, you just lose. And the Cavs,
I don't think I need to look it up. Oh, I just hear 48%. Yeah. I think I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. In this day and age, it's so easy to just cough up a game against nobody. You brought up the Lakers game last year. Or was it the Warriors? I'm sorry. The Warriors game last year. Who was even on the team, on the roster?
The Lakers game was years ago when the Cavs were bad and they had Chris Kaman sleeping on the bench.
Mitch, for later in the segment, remind me who was on the roster for the Warriors. Yeah. Because it was not Steph Curry. No. It wasn't Draymond. It wasn't Klay Thompson. And they beat you.
In the rotation, yeah.
And they beat you. Yeah, and it just goes to show in this league how hard that is. In the NFL, we know any team can win on any given day. So, yes, Stefanski going 9-3 with that team, that was impressive, especially because it's the Browns. But the NBA to do it, 9-0, I don't care who the opponents are. I mean, you saw how hard it could be because you saw them scratch and claw against a 1-7 Milwaukee Bucks team that still had Giannis and Lillard in the first game, and then Lillard go off in the second game, you still beat him.
I go back to Justin Termini, his interview with us that was on at 720. You can hear it at 92.3thefan.com. Again, if you disagree with us, I'm not going to shout you down. Let me know. 216-474-0092. Am I just in the honeymoon phase of Kenny Atkinson right now? But I go back to Justin Termini, and he kind of pointed it out. This is an outsider's perspective, where it's like, hey, you don't have Nikola Jokic playing for this team, or Giannis, or LeBron, for that matter, or any one of the major superstars that are out there. Kevin Durant. No, I mean, you have a great player in Donovan Mitchell. He is not of that 1%. Evan Mobley is a unicorn, but he's certainly not of that 1% down the line. You're 9-0 to start the year. I'm not talking about where they'll finish. They'll finish in the playoffs unless something terrible happens. They'll finish in the playoffs, just like the Browns did. I'm only talking about starts. Starts to the year. The start to the year for Kenny Atkinson, you only play 82 of these things. Somebody had tweeted at us that they're on pace for like 78-4. Which would be incredible, which is not going to be feasible, but still. I mean, you're looking at a team right now that is in a different stratosphere from where they've been in the past. Like people said, flip this switch. I can't flip the switch because usually that takes a time of feeling out before it's like, all right, now they're going to take off. Now we quote-unquote flip the switch. They're 9-0. Where can I find anything bad with the team? The only thing I could try to take away from it if I were in another city, I don't want to do it here, is like, hey, your strength of schedule is not that great. Even though it's like, hey, it's not their fault the Knicks have to get their lives figured out. It's not their fault that Milwaukee has fallen flat on their face to start out their season. It's not their fault that people are talking about or trying to talk Giannis Antetokounmpo's trades into existence. It's not the Cavs' fault. They've only just beaten who's in front of them.
And it's beautiful now that this is where Kobe Altman, which we've all scrutinized at times.
Been very critical.
Right? We scrutinized at times. But right now, he was banking on something that has paid off in the short term. We'll find out if it matters in the playoffs. But in the short term, he was banking on continuity. Let's let the Knicks make these trades, break up their Villanova team, and reach for the stars to try to improve their ceiling. Let's let the Philadelphia 76ers make a huge swing with all their available assets to go get Paul George. What we know is we can hit the ground running, even with a new head coach. And to Kenny Atkinson's credit, when we talked last week, who deserves more credit, Atkinson or the players? I gave the players more credit. Here's where I give Atkinson a lot of credit, is that he's admitted, hey, we're going to pick up where Bickerstaff left off.
Yes.
It doesn't need to be all me. And he has defensively. He says they've kept the concepts defensively. Do you know how hard that is to get a coach to do that? Normally when a coach comes in, he says, all right, we're getting rid of this. That last coach was a clown behind the scenes. We're going
to
do this.
Try to reinvent their wheel in their own way. It's an ego trip.
He said, why overthink it? Why reinvent the wheel here? We're going to tweak the offense where it needs to be tweaked, and boy, has it worked.
You're right about that. Coming up at 9:40, we have Mitch Please. All right, well, if you think Stefanski or even Vogt had a better start, 216-474-0092, tell me I'm wrong. Tell Lima he's wrong. That's fine. I ain't going to shout you down.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.